Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Drugs, A Very Short Introduction, 2nd Edition, by Les Iverson. Narrated by Mike Cooper. Publisher's Note. In this audio edition, you'll hear references to figures and tables present in the print and e-book formats of the book. Chapter 1. History. The word drug refers to a chemical substance that's taken deliberately in order to obtain some desirable effect. Some drugs are used medically to treat illnesses, whereas others are taken because of their pleasurable effects. Both uses are ancient in their origins. The first humans were hunter-gatherers. They had to learn which of the thousands of plants in their environment were good to eat and which were poisonous. By trial and error, they also gradually accumulated knowledge of which plants or other natural materials might help to relieve pain or treat the symptoms of their illnesses. The consumption of medicinal plants is not restricted to humans. Studies of chimpanzee behavior have revealed that sick animals sometimes select plants not usually contained in their diet for their antiparasitic effects. Humans at first did not accept death as a natural phenomenon. Serious diseases were believed to be of supernatural origin, the work of an enemy, visitation by a malevolent demon, or the work of an offended god who had stolen the victim's soul. The treatment was intended to lure the errant soul back to its proper habitat within the body by counterspells, incantations, potions, suction, or other means. On the other hand, minor ailments such as colds or constipation were accepted as part of existence and dealt with by means of such herbal remedies as were available. Before there was a written language, knowledge of plant medicines was handed on by word of mouth from one generation to another. This eventually became a specialized occupation for the medicine man, shaman, or witch doctor, who often combined medical knowledge with the practice of magic and religious rites and became a potent and powerful figure in the community. The belief in spirits that could interfere with life for good or evil and therefore could cause disease was almost universal, so it's not surprising that knowledge of drugs was combined with this superstitious role. Herbal pharmacopoeias. Among the earliest written records of herbal medicines are those from ancient China. The earliest book was the Shen Nung Pen Cao Qing, published during the Han Dynasty in the 2nd century CE. It listed 365 herbal medicines and became an important basis for the development of Chinese medicine. The book was added to many times. A particularly important revision, Pen Cao Keng Mu, the Great Pharmacopoeia, prepared by Li Xin Chen during the Ming Dynasty in the 16th century, was in 52 volumes and listed 1,898 medicines of plant, animal, and mineral origins. Li was one of the first to study drugs scientifically. He personally studied the actions of many traditional remedies. As a result, he discarded a lot of useless information and eliminated some toxic preparations. Pharmacology is the scientific study of drugs, so Li could perhaps be called the first pharmacologist. He also compiled one of the first pharmacopoeias, a book containing directions for the identification of compound medicines. Herbal medicines continue to be important in modern Chinese medicine, and many active substances have been introduced into Western medicine from these sources. In traditional Chinese medicine, various preparations are mixed in complex prescriptions according to philosophical principles to restore the harmony of the yin and the yang and the balance between the five organs, the five planets, and the five colors. The art of prescribing these Chinese remedies is complex and is very different from the use of drugs in modern Western medicine, in which single, pure chemical substances are used to treat particular aspects of illness. In India, the ancient Ayurvedic system of medicine originated as long as 3,000 years ago. It remains widely practiced in Asia, and it too relies heavily on natural drugs, often in complex mixtures. Unlike the relatively benign and non-toxic effects of most Chinese medicines, however, the Ayurvedic approach often seems to be more aggressive, with drug-induced vomiting, purging of the gut with laxatives and enemas, and bleeding as common remedies. A number of medical texts also exist from ancient Egypt, 2000 to 1500 BCE, describing the use of many herbal and natural medicines, senna, honey, thyme, juniper, frankincense, cumin and colocynth for digestion, pomegranate root and henbane for worms, and also flax, oak gall, pine tar, manna, bayberry, acanthus, aloe, caraway, cedar, coriander, cypress, elderberry, fennel, garlic, wild lettuce, nasturtium, onion, papyrus, poppy plant, saffron, sycamore, and watermelon. Systemized herbal pharmacopoeias also emerged independently in other cultures. The father of modern medicine, Hippocrates, founded one of the first schools of rational or scientific medicine and used several hundred natural medicines. In Greece, Dioscorides published his influential De Materia Medica in CE 55, and this was considered an absolute authority for the next 1600 years. In ancient Rome, Pliny, CE 60, published his Natural History, the largest ever compilation of knowledge of herbal and other natural remedies. Herbal medicine flourished elsewhere too, notably in the medieval era in the Arab world and in Europe. The British Herbal Pharmacopoeia, written by Nicholas Culpepper, 1616 to 54, was one of the most famous. He combined herbal remedies with astrology. Here's an example of the many medical uses of comfrey advocated by Culpepper. The roots of comfrey, taken fresh, beaten small and spread upon leather, and laid upon any place troubled with the gout, does presently give ease of the pains, and applied in the same manner giveth ease to pained joints, and profiteth very much for running and moist ulcers, gangrenes, mortifications and the like, for which it hath often experience been found helpful. The era of herbal medicine lasted for many centuries. Herbal remedies included several very potent and effective medicines, but there was also much mythology. According to the doctrine of signatures, remedies for disease could be recognized by some property or signature that they possessed. For example, lungwort, pulmonaria, which resembles the tissue inside the lungs, was used for a variety of respiratory ailments. Saffron, because of its yellow color, was used to treat jaundice, and the mandrake plant and ginseng were used for many ailments because their roots often resembled the human form. The era of scientific medicine. The Renaissance saw the development of a new experimental approach to medicine in the great medical schools of Europe, and the rediscovery of medical knowledge from ancient Greece and Rome. But it was not until the 19th century that scientific medicine really began to have a major impact on the practice of medicine. A key discovery was that infectious diseases were caused by microscopic living organisms. The main credit for this is due to the French chemist Louis Pasteur. It was Pasteur who, by a brilliant series of experiments, proved that the fermentation of wine and the souring of milk are caused by living microorganisms. His work led to the pasteurization of milk and solved problems of agriculture and industry as well as those of animal and human diseases. He successfully employed inoculations, vaccines, to prevent anthrax in sheep and cattle, chicken cholera in fowl, and finally rabies in humans and dogs. From Pasteur, Joseph Lister derived the concepts that enabled him to introduce the antiseptic principle into surgery. Up until the mid-century, surgical operations and childbirth were associated with a high risk of infection and often death. In 1865, Lister, a professor of surgery at Glasgow University, began placing an antiseptic barrier of carbolic acid between the wound and the germ-containing atmosphere. Infections and deaths fell dramatically, and his pioneering work led to more refined techniques of sterilizing the surgical environment. The first anesthetic, nitrous oxide, laughing gas, was described by Humphrey Davy in 1799 and is still used today in dental anesthesia. William Morton, an American dentist, made surgical operations and childbirth less terrifying by the introduction of ether as an anesthetic in 1846. Another major advance in surgery came from Edinburgh, where the professor of midwifery, James Young Simpson, had been experimenting upon himself and his assistants, inhaling various vapours with the object of discovering an effective anaesthetic. In November 1847, chloroform was tried with complete success, and it soon became the anaesthetic of choice. In Britain, official royal sanction was given to anaesthetics by Queen Victoria, who accepted chloroform from her physician, John Snow, when giving birth to her eighth child, Prince Leopold, in 1853. It was in 19th-century Germany, however, that the development of the modern era of drug development began. Germany was a leader in the scientific approach to medicine, and students flocked to German medical schools from all over the world. German chemists were the first to isolate pure drug chemicals from herbal medicines, with the isolation of morphine from crude opium in 1803 and quinine from the bark of the cinchona tree in 1820. Morphine was used as a powerful pain reliever, but, like opium before it, morphine also became a drug of abuse. Quinine had a major impact on the prevention and treatment of malaria. One of the outstanding scientific leaders of that era was Paul Ehrlich. While still a student, Ehrlich carried out work on lead poisoning, from which he evolved the theory that was to guide much of his subsequent work, that certain tissues have a selective affinity for certain chemicals. This led, in turn, to the modern concept that drugs are recognized by specific receptors in the body, and indeed, Ehrlich was one of the first to use the term receptor. In the early 20th century, J.N. Langley, professor of physiology in Cambridge, England, studied the actions of nicotine and the South American arrow poison curare on nerve muscle preparations, and also concluded that the drugs act on a receptive substance that is neither nerve nor muscle. The last half of the 20th century and the early years of the 21st saw an unprecedented flourishing of basic medical research and a remarkable increase in the kinds and numbers of drugs available for clinical use. The list of disease conditions that could now be treated expanded enormously, and the discovery and production of new synthetic drugs for sale became a major industry. The top-selling drugs nowadays are mainly biologics, proteins or antibodies, made on biological templates rather than chemically synthesized. Annual sales of medical drugs in the USA increased from $149 million in 1939 to a staggering $1,057.2 billion in 2014, an increase of more than a thousandfold. The impact that these new medicines have had on human life and well-being has been extraordinary. Our love affair with recreational drugs. As a species, we have a unique propensity to seek out mind-altering chemicals and sometimes to persist in their use even when we know that such behavior may be damaging to our health. Animals also seem to enjoy intoxicants. For example, apes in the wild will get mildly drunk on overripe fruit that has fermented to produce alcohol. My cats enjoy their Christmas treat of a small cloth mouse stuffed with the dried leaves of catmint, Nepeta. They roll wildly on the floor, chewing fiercely on this toy and inhaling the intoxicating vapors. But apes do not allow the search for overripe fruit to dominate their lives, and my cats do not seek out a regular supply of catmint, even though it's available in our garden. The recreational use of drugs seems to have been a part of human behavior for many thousands of years. Alcohol was probably the first such drug. It's easily available from fruit and wild yeasts that are common in most parts of the world. It was a small step to discover how to control the process of fermentation to make wines and beer. There are records of organized drinking houses in ancient Babylon more than 3,000 years ago, and winemaking was common in all parts of the Roman Empire. Alcoholic beverages appear in the Hebrew Bible, after Noah planted a vineyard and became inebriated. The production of alcoholic drinks in their almost infinite variety has become a large industry, and their consumption, except in Islamic countries, is widespread around the world. Like many other recreational drugs, alcohol has also been widely used in medicine, as a rough-and-ready anaesthetic in the era before ether and chloroform, and as an ingredient in many patent medicines, including gripe water, a dilute sugary alcoholic drink, for restless babies with colic, although nowadays gripe water no longer contains alcohol. Alcohol also plays a role in various religions, as in the communion wine of Christianity. The excessive use of alcohol and the liability to dependence came into special prominence in the deprived cities of the industrial era of the 19th and 20th centuries, where gin was cheap. Most countries reacted by placing restrictive laws on the sale of alcohol and by taxing it heavily. During World War I, claims that war production was being hampered by drunkenness led to pub opening times being restricted and alcohol strength reduced, Defence of the Realm Act, 1914. Despite this, the past 20 years saw the emergence of binge drinking, people drinking enough alcohol in one session to end up in a stupor. Smoking tobacco, in its various forms, was, for more than 50 years, the most popular form of recreational drug use in the Western world in the 20th century. The tobacco plant, Nicotiana rustica, is native to North America, and smoking the dried leaves was a custom among many of the American Indian tribes. Smoking formed an important part of Indian ceremonies, such as the smoking of the pipe of peace, and they also believed that tobacco possessed medicinal properties. Christopher Columbus brought the plant and the habit to Europe, and it spread rapidly. The early European colonists in America grew tobacco for export to Europe, and it rapidly became the chief commodity of their trade. In 1604, King James I of England published an anti-smoking treatise, a counterblast to tobacco, that had the effect of raising taxes on tobacco. In India and in the Arab world, smoking the burning leaves of another plant, Cannabis sativa, has been widely practiced for thousands of years. The dried leaves, marijuana, and the more potent female flowering heads of the plant, Sinsomelia, or the sticky cannabis resin, can be smoked or consumed in a variety of foodstuffs. In the Hindu religion, cannabis plays an important ritual role, and in Islamic countries, where the use of alcohol is forbidden, cannabis use, which is not explicitly mentioned in the Quran, has sometimes taken its place. The use of cannabis as a recreational drug was virtually unknown in the West until the mid-20th century, when it became popular with the beat and hippie generation of the 1960s and 1970s. Since then, it's become firmly embedded in Western culture as the third most widely consumed recreational drug after alcohol and tobacco. Plant breeders in California and in Holland have developed new strains of cannabis plant with an enhanced content of the active ingredient delta-9-tetrahydrocannabinol, THC. Apart from its intoxicant effect, cannabis also has a number of potentially important medical uses and has been widely used in Indian medicine for many centuries. It was also used in Western medicine for almost 100 years from the mid-19th until the mid-20th century. The coca leaf was not burned but chewed by Peruvian Indians and was regarded by the Incas as a symbol of divinity. The Spanish conquistadors, however, regarded coca chewing as a vice, and unlike tobacco, this habit was never introduced into European society. When the active ingredient cocaine was isolated as a pure chemical by the German chemist Albert Niemann in 1860, however, the drug suddenly became popular because of its medicinal properties. It was the first effective local anesthetic to be used in delicate surgery on the eye and in dentistry. For a decade or more, cocaine was used for a variety of medical conditions and was famously championed by Sigmund Freud. Cocaine was said to be effective in treating a variety of nervous complaints and also began to be used recreationally. The original Coca-Cola contained cocaine as an infusion of coca leaves, and a range of coca wine preparations became available as patent medicines. Lozenges containing cocaine were even marketed by the E. Merck Company to impart a silvery quality to the singing voice. Ironically, one of the medical uses was in the treatment of opium addiction, a condition that was beginning to be recognized in the late 19th century. The powerful addictive properties of cocaine soon became apparent, however, and both medical and non-medical use fell almost completely out of favor until the modern revival of cocaine as a recreational drug in the late 20th century. Opium, the dried resin of the poppy plant, is another example of an ancient medicine that also served recreational purposes throughout history. Opium is one of the oldest effective painkillers and figures prominently in both Eastern and Western herbal medicine. In Britain, opium was imported in large quantities throughout the 19th century and enjoyed unrestricted medical and non-medical use. The impoverished labourer could buy a sample of raw opium from the corner shop and enjoy an evening of oblivion. The children of working-class families could be dosed the opium-containing cordials to keep them quiet while the parents went to work. The children sometimes died. The middle-class matron would use the more refined laudanum, an alcoholic extract of opium diluted in water and consumed to while away the dull afternoons. Opium was an important product in the economy of the British Empire, and Britain used the political weapon of the Opium Wars with China, 1839-60, to force the Chinese to accept the importation of opium from India. Opium, and later the pure compound morphine, formed the base for hundreds of different medicines. Opium consumption rose to new heights in the latter part of the 19th century, and the invention of the hypodermic syringe in 1850 allowed morphine and the more powerful synthetic derivative heroin to be administered directly into the bloodstream. There were no restrictions on opium use in England until 1868, when the first Pharmacy Act became law. It was only then that addiction was recognised as a problem on both sides of the Atlantic. By 1900, it was estimated that 1 in 500 of the US population was addicted to opium, and strict regulation of supply soon followed, with only mixed success. Opium in 19th century Britain. The opium preparations on sale and stocked by chemists' shops were numerous. There were opium pills, or soap and opium, and lead and opium pills, opiate lozenges, compound powder of opium, opiate confection, opiate plaster, opium enema, opium liniment, vinegar of opium, and wine of opium. There was a famous tincture of opium, opium dissolved in alcohol, known as laudanum, which had widespread popular sale, and the camphorated tincture or paregoric. The dried capsules of the poppy were used, as were poppy fermentation, syrup of white poppy, and extract of poppy. There were nationally famous and long-established preparations like Dover's powder, that mixture of ipecacuanha and powdered opium originally prescribed for gout by Dr. Thomas Dover. An expanding variety of commercial preparations began to come on the market at mid-century. They were typified by the chlorodynes, Collis Browns, Towels and Freeman's. The children's opiates, like Godfrey's Cordial and Dolby's Carminative, were long established and used by working mothers to keep their children quiet while they went out to work. They were everywhere to be bought. There were local preparations too, like Kendall Black Drop, popularly supposed to be 4 times the strength of laudanum, and well known outside its locality because Coleridge used it. Poppy Head Tea in the Fens, Sleepy Beer in the Crick Howell area, Nepenthe, Obridge's Long Tonic, Batley's Sedative Solution, popular remedies, patent medicines, and the opium preparations of the textbooks were all available. The 20th century saw the first entirely synthetic drugs that alter consciousness. The first of these were the amphetamines. D-amphetamine, dexedrine, was first synthesized in the early 20th century and used because of its ability to constrict blood vessels. Sold as benzedrine and administered by drops or inhaler, it helped to ease nasal congestion. During World War II, dexedrine took on a new role as a stimulant that was used to keep military personnel alert and awake for long periods, for example, bomber crews on long flying missions. More potent forms of amphetamine, for example, methamphetamine, speed, and new forms of administering this drug by smoking continue to be widely abused. At the same time, the synthetic sedatives peraldehyde and chloral became available. Throughout history, the medical and non-medical uses of drugs have been closely interrelated. Thus, morphine has always been one of the most important drugs in the pharmacopoeia, but also one of the most dangerous drugs of abuse. In the early years of the new millennium, the medical use of cannabis has been reintroduced in several European countries and in many states in the USA. The story of the accidental discovery of D-LSD is another example of the synthesis of a powerful mind-altering chemical. The discovery of D-LSD. The Swiss chemist Albert Hofmann first synthesized D-lysergic acid diethylamide, DLSD, in 1938 as one of a series of chemicals related to ergotamine, a drug isolated from a fungus that sometimes grew on crops of rye. 5 years later, he synthesized the compound again and unwittingly received a minute dose of this powerful hallucinogen, perhaps through his skin. He describes what happened next. How dull would life be if one of its dominating factors, what we call accident or chance, were missing, and if we would never become surprised? I was very surprised when, in the afternoon of the 16th of April 1943, after I'd repeated the synthesis of LSD, I entered suddenly into a kind of dream world. The surroundings had changed in a strange way and had become luminous, more expressive. I felt uneasy and went home, where I wanted to rest. Lying on the couch with closed eyes, because I experienced daylight as unpleasantly glaring, I perceived an uninterrupted stream of fantastic pictures, with an intense, kaleidoscopic play of colours. After some hours, this strange but not unpleasant condition faded away. The discovery of LSD prompted the rediscovery of other plant-based hallucinogens, mescaline from cactus and psilocybin from the Mexican magic mushroom Tiananmen. Both had featured prominently in ancient religious rites. During the past 100 years, there have been dramatic increases in both the medical and the recreational use of drugs. In the medical field, breakthroughs occurred in our ability to control life-threatening illnesses, and for the first time, drugs allowed us to take control of our own reproduction. The increased use of recreational drugs occurred in response both to poverty and deprivation in some communities and to affluence in others. Supplying and marketing both legal and illegal drugs became a major worldwide industry, accounting for a significant proportion of all economic activity. Chapter 2. How Drugs Work. Drugs are chemicals, a series of atoms bonded together to form a molecule. They can be of natural origin, extracted from plants, animals, or microbes. For example, many antibiotics used in the treatment of infectious diseases are chemicals synthesized by one microorganism to protect itself against others. The powerful anti-cancer drug Taxol is extracted from the leaves of the yew tree. Most drugs are man-made chemicals designed to act on some particular biochemical target. In the 21st century, however, there are an increasing number of biologicals, proteins and antibodies made on a biological template. These are composed of chains of amino acids and are substantially larger molecules. Synthetic drugs are usually relatively small molecules, containing 10 to 100 atoms. Larger biological molecules, such as proteins, 2,000 to 20,000 atoms, are not easily absorbed into the body and tend to be rapidly degraded on entry into the digestive system. They need to be administered directly by injection. Medicines contain the active drug molecule, along with various other inactive ingredients, sugars, starches, or oils, to make a tablet or other preparation. The amount of active drug is usually minute, measured in a few thousandths of a gram. It would be impractical to handle and manufacture tablets unless they contain some inert filler. Most medicines are taken by mouth in tablet or capsule form, but some are given as liquids, easier for children or old people to swallow, or by other routes of delivery, including injection. When medicines are given by mouth, they're gradually absorbed into the bloodstream from the stomach and gut. This is a relatively slow process, but this is not a drawback if the medicine is being used to treat a long-term disease where a sustained delivery of drug is needed. The ideal medicine for such diseases is taken by mouth once a day, but this requires that there is a steady absorption from the gut and that the active drug is not degraded too rapidly in the body. Absorption from the gut need not involve swallowing the drug. Another method is to administer the drug incorporated into a waxy suppository inserted into the rectum. This too gives a slow and sustained absorption of the active material and is a popular method of drug delivery in several European countries. When my wife developed a sore throat in Paris some years ago and went to a pharmacy to obtain some medicine, she emerged with some strange-looking waxy lozenges, which she was about to swallow before our friends told her the correct means of administration. In Anglo-Saxon countries, we're more prudish, and the rectal suppository has never been popular. Some drugs require more rapid delivery, for example, an antibiotic given to treat a severe infection, or an anaesthetic administered for a surgical operation. In such cases, a drug solution can be injected directly into the blood via a vein. Intravenous injection is also a route favored by drug addicts to deliver, for example, heroin. This route provides almost instant delivery of the drug to the brain.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?